Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzo Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about nature. We'd like to find out what can we learn from nature in order to improve our relationships. Because in life, just like in nature, we have different kinds of relationships. We have relationships at home, at work, wherever we live. The very same way, there are relationships in nature. And we'd like to better understand what is different and what is similar in our relationships and the different relationships that exist in nature. All of this in order to make our life better. Nitza, please. So, on this show, we'd like to focus on a relationship in nature called competition. It seems to us that we human beings have invented competition, but no, it's something that exists in nature. It could be over limited resources, water, light, many things. It's both among different species and both within the species itself. And there are many different levels of sophistication within competition. There are competitions where everyone tries to exploit a certain resource in the best possible way. And there is a kind of competition, which is a, so to speak, disturbing kind of competition. Suppose there is a plant or a mushroom that starts emitting different chemical substances that push and drive everything else away. Sometimes animals, they mark their territory, saying, keep out. So competition is something that exists in nature. And the first question is, why do we need competition in nature? Well, competition in nature is something of the ordinary. If we want to see something developing, it can only happen through competition, where from all the different options of complexity, nature built this way, the good, exalted, most preferable forms. We've developed from waves to particles, from particles to atoms, from atoms to molecules, and later on and to the vegetative and then animate. All this by finding more complete and perfect complexities. And this is how we advance. And as we've already said, human species, as it develops in an as if supernatural complexity. It's developed by nature. But what's supernatural about it is that, as opposed to the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate, the force that develops it is the force we call the ego, meaning it develops out of hatred towards others, by being distant from others, by having to be one and unique, like nature itself, wanting to be above the nature of the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate, and by that, as if wanting to be like the general force of nature, which is supposed the creator or nature as a whole. And therefore, as it develops this way, it really develops through competition in a different way than nature does. If it happens in nature instinctively, where all the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate have to carry out, realize the law of nature, development, without being asked at all, eventually man is that way too. But the problem is that the force that develops man isn't a force that develops man for the better, towards more and more exalted and better states, but on the contrary, towards worse and worse, ignoble, lowly, weak states. And eventually we see that we always want to acquire such forces that will help us exist even though that we're weak, that'll help us exist even though that we occupy, take a greater niche in nature than what we deserve, and so on. Meaning our competition brings us, leads us to states of crisis. It's anti-evolutional. It is a development in which our ego pushes us to be in greater and greater advancing suffering, suffering that's felt on higher degrees, not the kind of suffering you have from food, sex, or family, but suffering that comes from honor, control, different such kinds that aren't that dominant in animals. But man, when he has the ability to develop himself in the best possible direction, due to wisdom and technological development, educational development, cultural development, being able to pass on wisdom and science from one generation to the next, being able to pass on all of the riches and the achievements of one's life. Instead of that, even in the same generation, we all the time destroy the fruits of our life, and not only that, we don't leave something for the next generation, but as if we are advancing, if one might say, in a way that we pass from one generation to the next the waste from what we achieve, and not the good things. But actually, the negative achievements, like what, for example, because when I look, I see that we're passing on more developed technology, and what does it serve? Does it serve man? It serves a state where we don't work, we don't do anything, smoking marijuana, reaching such distortions, deviations in education, culture, human society that no one enjoys. Everyone's doing who knows what all day long, occupying each other. Why? Otherwise, it's not life. I don't exist. I have no status. I'm not like everyone, and so on and so forth. Meaning we don't live in a rational way. But we do have a certain perception that competition is something that develops us as human beings. It's not constructive competition. So when does it stop being constructive and becomes destructive? The way I see it, any competition of ours is destructive. Why? Because our nature, after we've evolved from monkeys, is the ego, that I'm separate from others, that I'm different, that I don't take myself into account with everyone else ever, but I'm always above everyone, outside of everyone, and therefore everything that I develop is in order to forcefully determine my uniqueness in the world. And this form of uniqueness is destructive. Instead of relating to the power of the individuum that exists in me, that I exist for the benefit of society, instead of that, my attitude towards society is only in order to destroy it. Only in order to destroy it. meaning to control it. To control it in the worst possible way, in the most exploitive way. And what is a positive constructive competition? It's when all of us will be in competition over how much everyone contributes to human society. If I draw a comparison with nature, I don't see an example for constructive competition, but you also don't see in nature that a certain species or kind develops by its ego, wanting to destroy and control its own species the way we do. And also doing it on purpose, out of free choice, and not by instinct. You can't find that in nature, because you're talking about man, who's not operated by this evil force, but against that, he's led to recognize his evil, to see the results, learn from them, and change. And were it not so, then we'd be like animals. Then we'd be like animals, really. Eating each other, using each other, exploiting each other. Like between monkeys. We've evolved from monkeys by our intellectual development, whereby our intellectual development, we have developed all the rest of our relationships in the family, in a clan, and all the rest of our things. And what follows is that by that, we continue exploiting everyone. And no longer instinctively like when we were animals, but in a conscious way. I want to ask a second about the competition. You started by saying, the first question was, why is there a need for competition in nature? You said that without that, nothing can develop. Right. Meaning that competition is a necessary motive in the development of nature. Yes. And there's competition everywhere in nature. Competition is that one force uses another force. There's pressure from within the ground, from within Earth. It defeats the other force, pressing on it from the outside, and it bursts out, and suppose you have a volcano. That's also competition. Yeah, there are many kinds. Everything comes from competition. Take, for example, plus and minus. I watch the Nature Channel. You have fish competing for food. Everything competing for everything. Competition all the time. Right. So it's a part of nature. Now we, human beings, are also part of nature. Like you said, we came from nature. We left nature. Just to complete the question, why suddenly when we're talking about competition, everyone becomes a good Samaritan, there is destructive competition like this, like that, there's good competition. Competition evolved nature and mankind for millions, billions of years, and probably it's supposed to advance us, but suddenly we all become bleeding heart. Why are you destroying? Why are you taking from others? I don't see that in nature. There's competition. If you win, you develop. Why suddenly humans have all this confusion that it's wrong, it's not nice, contribute, you know, morals? Why is it that when it comes to human beings, you talk about this force that works in all other levels of nature as something destructive and so on? I want to ask you, how is our society that you live in the center of the world, you traveled around the world, you saw many things, you're a developed individual, you have internet, television, everything. Tell me, please, how is our life today happier than how it was 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years ago? Human beings? Yeah. So we can separate it into two, intuitively speaking. First of all, thanks to science and technology, we've achieved such things, inventions, that make our life easier. emotionally wise, I don't know how to, you know, measure in the perspective of 2,000 years, but if I look at my generation compared to the way my grandfather lived his life, I think they were much happier, at ease, than the pressure that we live in. So it's two opposite directions. On the one hand, we have materialistic comfort, but on the other hand, we're living in constant stress. So does it mean that we're developing or deteriorating? Materialistically wise, we're developing. Emotionally wise, life is becoming harder and harder. And all in all, is a man enjoying himself today more than 100 years ago? Or compared with your grandfather? I can say for myself, it seems to me that my grandfather had a much funner life than I did. So what's the question? The question isn't about that, it's about competition. I'm not looking at whether it's fun or not. There's a natural process in nature called competition. It's a necessary force developing nature and so on. In mankind, this force is also working. There's competition everywhere. Wherever you look, there's competition. Why you and other people look at it and grade it? This is good competition, this is bad competition, constructive, destructive, positive, negative. This is the nature of things. Why grade it? Why suddenly, when it comes to human beings, we feel bad about competition? In nature, it simply exists. It develops, and no problem. When it comes to mankind, there's all the why. You tell me? Because you look at animals, like you watch the Nature Channel, and you see that that's how it is. So, do you accuse a lion or a deer of something? No. That's life. And human beings. Yeah, people come and accuse me all the time. Why are you stepping on? Why are you this? Why are you that? Why don't animals accuse each other of anything? An animal running away from another animal that wants to eat it, it doesn't have any complaints against that animal. It doesn't accuse it of anything. Why are you doing this to me? It knows this is the law. And there's a balance of forces between them, that the one's chasing and the other's running away. These are forces that are operating there. Now the question is, why, when such forces work among us, we're still criticizing them? This is my question. You're asking. This is my question. If there's competition on all levels of nature, it should also be that way in mankind, for the fittest to survive. Were we to behave only according to our nature, then none of us would have had any complaints against anyone else. This is what I want. What you have is what you have. Grow stronger and take your share of things. Don't criticize me because you're, so to speak, lazy. But it's not so. Yeah, there's all the time criticism and preaching. Why are you stepping on everyone? This is what I'm asking about. How do you treat your children? Do you teach them? Do you demand them to behave in a certain way? Educate them. Right. What does it mean to educate? You give them the wisdom of life. Right. And correspondingly, you demand change in their behavior. Right. And this doesn't happen instinctively, that it's something that they get from nature, like suppose baby bears. But it depends on a person, how much is he developed by his parents, the environment, doesn't matter. Meaning there is something here in addition to the influence of nature that we demand of human beings to receive through our attitude of education, culture, and so on. That comes in order to compensate for the evil nature that's bustling in each one of us. Like you look at your children and you tell them, stop fighting, be good kids. Right. I see what's going on in your house, even though I've never been there. It's obvious. So tell me, why are you demanding of them? Why are you teaching them? Why are you treating them this way? Allow nature to take its course. I have four children, two of them twins, and I love both of them, and it pains me to see that one of them hurts the other. What do you mean, four children and two of them are yours? No, I have two twins. Four children, two twins. They're all my children, and it pains me to see that someone hurts someone. It pains me. Why? Because I love all of them. What are you interfering with your love for? Allow them to carry on with life the way it should be. For the strong to beat the others up, for the weak to suffer. What's wrong with you? I can't. Then you're a big egoist. You want to be in control. Yeah, it pains me to see. You don't want for it to pain you, and this is why you do it. Were it not to pain you, you'd pay no attention. Were you to see other kids killing each other? What do you care? Right. So it's your ego. It's nature. It's nature. True. So your question is, my question is, why does suddenly mankind relate to competition in a negative way, grading it as destructive, as this, as that, instead of seeing it as a force that evolves everything? Because our ego doesn't allow us to receive it, accept it in a natural way. I disagree with mankind developing this way. My ego doesn't allow me to accept it. Like your ego doesn't allow you to accept what's happening among your children. Okay, just to understand what you're saying. Suppose both of us are competing. He won. In nature, a defeated animal moves aside. Suppose we bring two chickens. There's, you know, like a chicken fight. Yeah, my grandfather had a hen house. No, there's such competitions. Yeah, right. I bring a chicken, she brings a chicken. I want for my chicken to kill her chicken. And she wants the very opposite. Everything's clear? Yes. Besides, I get money, honor, and so on. Right. So what's the problem? We're not as if going against nature here. We're putting nature into an even greater struggle. You don't want for your children to be that way, but here you do want for it to be that way. Meaning, your ego determines, and that's it. The ego of the winner or the defeated. Doesn't matter, both. What I want to say is that our egoistic attitude towards life actually ruins our ability to accept, to perceive life as is. Meaning, we as human beings, on the one hand, we're competing all the time, and on the other hand, at the very same time, everyone wants for competition to behave by his own rules, and that he'll be the winner. Yeah. Now, competition. Every competition of ours, if so, is negative. And we see these results because we develop from competition. The so-called free market, the ultimate example for competition. Don't do anything, the market will do everything. Why? Because the stronger, the better, the more successful will win. And this way, as if, the best things will remain in life, the healthiest people, the happiest people, the best products. Is that true? According to what you see, we see that it's incorrect, that products from year to year are a bigger and bigger fraud, and that everything's made more out of a lie than out of truth, and so on and so forth, from year to year. Why? Where's the free market? Where's competition? The competition's there. But where's the real competition from which we benefit, like the fathers of capitalism thought, or all the philosophers throughout the years. No, won't happen. It won't. We're advancing in the other direction, that the liars, that the only thing they have are lies. And the most terrible, dirtiest form of competition, they control everyone and make money out of thin air by doing business in the banks. They're not building anything. They're not making anything. Why? Because our ego is inside that competition. We can't compare ourselves with animals. There, it's nature that's guiding them. Towards natural scrutiny of who will live, who will die, who eats and who will be eaten. And with us, it's not the successful force that wins like in nature. But amongst us, what wins is the human ego. Wins is he who is more egoistic. And in nature it's not so. What wins in nature is the rule, the law. I didn't get it. In nature, the strongest wins, according to their species. They don't develop in different egoistic ways. In nature, everything works by instinct. In nature, everything works according to laws. In nature, everything works by the rules. And there's no development there, but an instinctive development, where an animal doesn't choose where to develop, but there are forces controlling it from within. And that you see animals, plants, you see only an external expression of different forces working between themselves in nature. All of the forces of the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate that are working between them in different relations and develop this way gradually if they do develop. Out of all of these forces of development, from all of these forces of development, there's nothing that you can take. There's no free choice. There's no independent desire of any species. When one decides to eat another or something, it's the instincts that determine for him to do that, and only. The animate species, this is how it lives. The speaking degree exists according to an additional law, an additional force called the ego. And the ego is bustling in man more than the animate desire. In order to serve one's ego, a person's willing to destroy himself, kill himself. He's willing to do that. Man is destroying his ordinary life in order to get some metal, in order to control others. He's willing not to eat, not to drink, not to rest, not to anything, in order to control. Ah, control. There's no such thing on the animate level. Their control is that I receive more for myself. I have more food, more comfort, more females of mine, more offsprings of mine, and so on. That's called control, dominion. The power of our ego to distinguish itself from others. It operates in us in a destructive way, separating me from everyone. And then I, in order to sustain it, am willing to destroy my previous degrees of development of the inanimate, vegetative, inanimate. I don't care about all these things. I don't. There is the development of food, sex, and family. That's a natural development, like in animals, as long as mankind develops in that. Wanting to arrange more food, sex, and family for themselves, to feel safer about all these things. This was relatively a more or less, how to call it, development like on the animate level. Meaning, we have used our ability to create our ego in order to make our life safer, more secure. So a piece of land, different tools for agriculture, domestic animals, herds and water. Relatively, everything was okay. This is the ancient world, let's call it. The way the world was a long time ago. Afterwards, we began developing according to our ego. I dated back to ancient Babylon, where suddenly the big ego erupted, and people, as if, stopped talking to each other. The confusion of tongues. They stopped understanding each other. They stopped caring for the normal, ordinary life. Can I ask something? Yeah. If I correctly understand, you just added another concept that differentiates man from animal, which is free choice. That competition in nature always advances towards a better state, because in nature what wins every time is the law of development that controls different creatures through instincts. Yeah, don't take into account these different creatures in nature. They're simply, how to say, this picture just seems to you. Doesn't matter. Behind this picture, there are forces that are in constant interactions between them. And so this eats that, this dies, this is born, and so on. This is how these forces work between them. Okay, the same happens in mankind. What's the difference? You see someone who's eating everyone else. It's a force that's operating him, like the same force that develops and operates a lion. The same it operates some tycoon or someone who rules the world and so on. Several forces that operate everything, just more sophisticated. That's the only difference. But on the level of forces, emotions, desires, urges, drives, mankind is behaving like a beast. Beast of prey, but these are beasts, animals. You can't preach. One animal can't preach to another. Like you said, mankind is part of the animate world. So just like in the animate world, there's competition that we all understand that's necessary and so on. The very same way, competition on the human level, because we're part of the animate level, is necessary and it develops. Don't tell me that you lost the competition. I look at the forces that in general are working between us, advancing mankind towards the next level. Where am I wrong? You're not wrong. I agree with you 100%. Only, you can't accept life this way. Human beings are incapable of accepting life as something that's being controlled from above by nature. They can't. I know this one guy called Oren Levy that even though that he's now talking about such exalted and beautiful things, he goes home and he yells at his children, "Why are you fighting?" And? What and? Very simple. You are incapable of accepting your life as something which is controlled by the laws of nature. A lion, deer, pig, cow, doesn't matter. They don't have this problem. They accept things, that this is how it is. They don't have such a question. But you do. You disagree with the way things around you are working. They don't have such a question, do we agree or don't we? They don't have questions at all. They only carry out. And it's not a question whether to carry something out or not. I'm pushed. I do. Something influences me in a different way. I jump, I hide myself, this, that. It's all the forces of nature without asking me. But I'm being asked. What do you think? I'm asked. That force of nature, as if asks me, has given me the ability to see, to understand with my mind through wisdom, to criticize nature and decide, do I agree or don't I? Do I want it or not? When you yell at your children, you disagree? And what? You're going to change it. So you're acting against nature. Meaning, you have this dualism. You're like two-faced. I'm built the way I am, but I disagree with it. I disagree with the way I am. And people ask why. A question that animals don't ask. They just act. Man looks at things and asks why. Why did it happen? Why this? Why that? Because man wants to be above the force that governs him. This is what he does with the children. He wants to be above the force of nature that controls them. He says, no, you'll behave differently, not like nature that controls you the way it does, that governs you this way. I'm God, as of the upper force. I'll tell you how to behave. I'll teach you how to do things. You suppress them. You're going against evolution. How is everything we talked about up to now related to competition between people? What does it teach us about competition between people so that it will be able to advance us? It can't advance us because our competition is egoistic. It's destructive. We're advancing without understanding our evolution. We see that the force that sustains us, it's a force that gives me the ability to develop only bad things in life. First of all, I develop something in order to control others. First and foremost, how to be stronger, how to be safer, how to be more and more. In nature, being better and better, that's also in nature, it's in a way that I fulfill my corporeal life. Here, I'm unlimited. On the human level, I'm unlimited. I need for the entire world to be mine. If I'm an animal, I want to live my life in the territory I marked. You know how they mark their area with urine. They don't need fences, agreements, things, and laboratories to find out whose urine's what. For them, it's very clear. This is his area, that's that. A satiated animal is calm, right? But not man. So, man is the most developed creature and he wants to swallow the entire world. A cat wants to control only its backyard. Man is more developed. He wants for the entire world to be his backyard. This is an additional force that you don't need for your survival. If an animal needs a certain area in order to exist, and it's willing to fight for it, you want an infinite area, even space, and it's not enough for you. Why? There's the space race. What do you need it for? I need it. Why? This need beyond the animate degree, the speaking level, is an egoistic need because I want it and I won't give it to anyone. Why? What for? Because I'm man. I'm above the animate degree. But being a human being is already at the expense of others. And you can choose either to be that way or not. Because you're an animate being. You don't need more. But there is an additional destructive force here, due to which all of us suffer, because it is an unlimited force. You want to swallow the entire world. Can I ask about this? Yeah. A cat wants to control its yard. If another cat comes, they'll fight over the yard, and whoever wins stays. Man is the most developed animal. I want to control my backyard too. Only my backyard is the entire world. What's not natural here? Natural instinctive drive. Right? That's how we live. So what's the problem? We don't tell a cat, this is destructive, this is this. There's no difference. The only difference is that I'm more developed. And in order to feel number one in everything, I have to be above everything, everyone, and control the world. A cat wants to be king of its backyard. I want to be the king of the world. No problem, carry on. Besides you, there are another 7 billion, and everyone wants to be king, but only one can be king. Right, so there will be a competition, like between two cats. Only 7 billion are going to compete. Most of them are anemic, so let's leave them aside. A few will want to compete, and the strong cat, so to speak, will win. What's bad about that? Evolution. No problem. No problem. So when I asked you, what's the definition for a competition that can advance us? What are we advancing towards? You just depicted the way our world is today. And what? We have a good life? Do we feel safe, secure, with good education, tranquility, good relations, international relations, good relations in the family, without divorce, health, all the systems are working for the benefit of man. Are we ruled by a good king, by some hidden elite that we don't even know? Are we content? And also, are they content? It's a question. So, why does it work in nature and it doesn't work here? Because the same force that you have beyond the desire to sustain yourself in the correct, limited, corporeal life like before, it broke out and it's starting to give you a desire to swallow the entire world. And then a man dies without achieving even half of what he wanted, meaning that you're in constant competition, under pressure. This force is really directing you at a terrible life, where you have neither night nor day nor nothing nor vacation. You're all the time, and you can't get out of the cycle because you're tied by thousands of connections and ties to the entire world, and that's that. What pleasure do you get out of it? Just one thing. Look who I am. Sometimes I see pictures from Hollywood. They're standing like this on a podium for half an hour for everyone to take their picture. That's it. This is everything they have. It's animalistic, right? So what's wrong with that? No, it's not wrong. I'm not saying that it's good or bad, but man dedicates his entire life to it. Day and night, he burns it all only for this. Eventually, this force leads him to destruction. And this is what we see, because for this, he's willing to destroy his own life and the life of others. As simple as that. What does that rich person do? Another factory, and he builds another factory and another one. He collects all that money from everyone, puts it in the bank. Good, I have a billion. More and more and more, I have 2 billion. And who's enjoying it? No one. Neither him, nor all of those bankers, nor the people working in his factory. No one enjoys it. Because everyone's competing. Everyone's in a race. Tired from dusk till dawn. No one has any good vacation. No one has a good life. Neither do the children that don't see their parents. Everything is arranged in a way that we are constantly feeding this animal called the ego. It's like you have this animal living in the forest and everyone has to give it food, otherwise it'll eat us. This is our civilization. This is what we came to. I really feel like that, that there's a feeling like this ego is starting to eat us, ourselves, not only others. Of course. This is called the recognition of evil. What touched me is that eventually you said, what counts is, are you happy? Look at nature, you'll find harmony. When we look at life, the feeling is different. It doesn't feel like harmony. It doesn't feel like joy. Meaning, it shows us that the result shows us that probably something isn't working. Meaning we eventually have to reach a state of the recognition of evil in our ego, in that component which ruins, corrupts our life. And then what do we come to? That everything that we did beyond the normal, ordinary life of food, sex, family, all the rest of the things that we made are to our detriment. And so we have to go back. Let's see if we can go back to a calm, quiet, comfortable, good life so that we won't be in this useless, terrible competition. So our children will be treated nicely and we'll have good relations and our entire life will be different. And medicine won't be about trying to sell us drugs, but in order to really help us be healthy and enjoy life, and that I'll be able to breathe air in nature and go to the forest and collect mushrooms and fruits, and not that I won't be able to eat them because they're terribly polluted, and so that my food won't be some kind of a mutation, biological mutation, that it's not a cucumber or a tomato or something, and so that the meat that we eat won't be antibiotics and so on. Maybe we can make a different life for ourselves. And not that I constantly find myself swallowing antidepressants, smoking marijuana, not wanting to get married or to see anyone, taking some microwave oven dinner from the supermarket, eating it, throwing it away. That's it. Before sleep, watching some horror movie or something and going to sleep like this. You know, this terrible excitement. If I live alone, which is the general tendency now, or like you that you have children, then they still step on your head before sleep so that it also takes you some time to calm down, like it takes me to calm down from whatever I saw on television and so on. Look what's going on. Eventually, we'll have to do the math. We've used that additional ego incorrectly. We have to use it. This is nature. Nature developed this additional desire in us. In addition to our basic needs, we've used this ego in an unnormal way. Let's use it in order to fill ourselves with something else so that we'll have some kind of fulfillment. And not that every time I as if attain something and it disappears. As if attain something and it disappears. And this is how it is for thousands of years. And no one's enjoying themselves, even those at the top. They only have an illusion that everyone's envious of them, that they're great, that they're this. If you start getting to know them, you'll see how many problems and troubles they have, no less than yours, of a much greater kind, and the aggravation they have and whatnot, even though that they have no problems. None of the things that worry you worry them. They can call the treasury and say, print another $20 billion. I need it. They'll print it. There are also such people. They're above banks, above the entire system. But I'm telling you, the way of life itself has to lead us to the recognition of evil, that we're using the power of our ego incorrectly. And how do we use it correctly? the correct use is that I use this force. What do I need to feel that I'm great? Right? Besides my basic needs, besides what my animal needs, to feel that I'm number one. Feel that you're great, only not from the negative, but from the positive things. That I'll be respected. This is what I want. Do good things to be respected. What's the problem? Why do I need to be respected? Because I'm strong, that I have a gun, I have power. Why do I have to be respected because of that? Why not to be respected because I love, because I feed everyone, because I'm good to everyone? Why not be respected that way? It would be for my benefit and for the benefit of others. And this is a ceaseless feeling and fulfillment. And I have to be in competition with others, but in a good competition that everyone enjoys. Meaning there is a kind of a psychological switch to stop this and to turn it the other way, just from here to there, to turn it. Naturally, it's working negatively, and we have to turn it to the positive. And that's it. The force already exists in us, and we reach a life that's heaven. How to realize this? This is an entire issue per se. This is a different scrutiny. But at least we have reached the recognition of evil. And how could we, and how is it possible to reach the good? Maybe it's possible. You remember the two cats fighting over the backyard? Whose is it? That's on the animate level. Right. You remember them? Yeah. Now, we came from the animate world. But now we're actually reaching a state where we can reach such a degree, we can make it so that all the billions of people will have their own backyard with their families, with food, with everything that they need. Nowadays we're making food, clothes, everything that you need. Because if we'll wanna, then humanity has enough in order to make everyone's life heaven. Like when you lived on a farm, you had a home, backyard, trees. Everyone can have that. All in all, we're taking up only a few percent of the planet's surface. Okay, today there's abundance and technology. We can make everyone's life heaven, corporeal life, all the rest. Okay, besides needing my backyard to eat, I kind of like being number one and you being number two. In our backyard, there is no number one and number two. Yeah, but I want to be more than everyone. If you want to be more than everyone, then you are wishing yourself a horrible life like you have today. Yeah? So you have no choice. So you're living in sorrow and tension all the time, fear of others, and so on. So this is what you came to. And eventually, you don't have a backyard and you don't have nothing. You have some sardine box and a skyscraper. You have no choice. You have to use all the additional force positively. You take all the surplus. Everything beyond what you needed in order to make a good corporeal life for yourself, you turned all this surplus into something terrible. A surplus that's ruining your entire life. So we as a society have to reach, it's called the recognition of evil. Okay, so I'm starting to understand that it's not that I'm harming others. No, the recognition of my own evil, that I feel bad. No, it's not that you feel bad, but that there is something about me that harms me. There is a force in me that pushes me to do different things, and I have to realize them, and I feel bad as a result. that there is a bad force in me that distances me, it itself isn't bad. It operates me in such a way where the outcome is bad for me. I feel bad as a result of it. And then I have to start using this force for the better. And my only free choice is to use this force correctly. And I couldn't do it earlier, but now I'm reaching the recognition of evil. And up ahead, we know there is an abyss and who knows what, and world wars and destruction and natural disasters and who knows what, and we don't want kids, what will they have, and so on and so forth. We are a generation that has to do the math. I want to understand how to use the human force in a good way. If I'm not a cat and I got this additional force from nature that helps me to develop to a greater degree, I want to use it. I don't want to agree with not being number one like you say. No, no, I told you. I want to understand how can I be number one. Please, by bestowing the best to everyone. That makes you number one. Everyone knows. Everyone's aware. Everyone comes to kiss your hands. Everyone knows. Owen Levy, a man that did such good things in the world. A man that everyone respects. What a heart he has. How generous. The help that he gives. How he teaches mankind. Look what a unique person. That's competition. It's competition. And the ego works in this competition. You don't sleep day and night, like now. So what, I'll get a Nobel Prize? I get that today, too. It's all. You'll feel that everyone respects you, that they're raising you to such an Olympus that you're really higher than everyone. What will I have? You don't need anything besides that. No, what will they say? If I'll be a good person, by nature, if a few people around you will say, you know, I heard about him, that this, and you die. You don't need anything besides that. Look at your face now. Just a bit that you feel it. We're dying for it. There's no greater pleasure. So how can I have people talk about me that way? Do good things? What do you mean? Who can judge what good things are? That you're not doing it for your own benefit, but for the benefit of the public. It's not like a rich person who throws in a few pennies. He won't do anything good, and he won't get a good name as a result. What then? That you help people arrange their life such that they will live a good life amongst them on all levels, in equality, in tranquility, with inner fulfillment, for each of them to realize their ego, but in a good competition towards everyone. My time's up. I'd like to summarize what we talked about. We talked about neutrality in nature. We saw that there are those that eat, those that are eaten. We saw competition, there's reciprocity in nature, many things in this one ecosystem that we call nature. We did it in order to find out how can we make our life here on earth paradise. As an egoist, I want to have the best possible life. So everything that we talked about, what should I learn from this? What is the one idea that I should take and implement in my relationships with others? What did I learn from this trip to nature? That the unique thing about man compared to animals is a very strong force that works in order to elevate him above nature, not in a way that I'm king and I control everyone, because by that we reach destruction. Because you have many competitors and then your life's miserable, dangerous. Eventually, look what a world we live in that's on the verge of collapse. It's going to collapse for sure. We only don't know in what direction. Whereas that force that works in a destructive way, you can change it and use it in a positive way. That's it. And it's possible. We'll talk about how to do it, but it's possible. Okay, our time's up. Then we'll continue. Definitely. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.